Hello and welcome to Splash of Cinema. Will and I are here this week on Saturday, the day before episode 6, to recap for you Barry season 4, episode 5, Tricky Legacies. In this episode, we see the characters take a time jump 8 years into the future, as was predicted at the end of the last episode. Barry and Sally now go by Clark and Emily, respectively. They have a son named John. They live in the middle of nowhere, and they've gone full method, so to speak, in their new rules, as they completely kind of have changed who they are under different aliases, are living by very little means, but have created this perfect family type situation that Barry envisioned. It's clear Barry's content, but Sally, Emily, we'll call her, is the exact opposite. And it's interesting to see them as parents in their roles. It's the same fucked up Barry, just in a total different situation. And I don't know. I mean, as we've said previously, this show just does things completely unexpectedly, takes you for random jumps. It gets insanely weird in this episode, but it's still that same dark, classic comedic humor that Barry has. Will, what are your thoughts on the episode? What did you like about it? What did you dislike?
Yeah, in my opinion, this was certainly the oddest episode of Barry. Definitely not one of my favorites. I didn't love it. You made the point that Barry is, you know, makes a lot of weird twists and turns and constantly keeps the audience on their feet. I agree, but this was way different than anything we've ever seen before. I mean, throughout the entire show of Barry, there have been some brief flashbacks of, you know, a future, or some brief flashbacks to Barry's past, and also some brief flash forwards to a future he imagines for himself, but we have never had one entire episode that completely subverts the reality of the timeline that we've been in Barry so far. So yes, as John said, this episode is the first in the show that takes you to a completely different place in terms of time and is set 8 years in the future. And yeah, I'm a little shocked that they chose to do it this way. I mean, I trust Bill Hader, and I think that we're definitely seeing this because there's a bigger point in which he's trying to prove something about Barry or send us some sort of different message about Barry in the show. I don't yet know what that's going to be. There was a lot of themes and character development in this episode, obviously, that we'll get into. But we talked about it in our last episode. At the end of episode 4, it hinted that there would be a time jump. I thought that maybe there would be, like, that's what all the reviews and stuff were saying, but, I mean, I never really 100% thought so, just because it's so weird. But, yeah, so that just took me by surprise. I thought it was very odd. Extremely dark in its own way, too. And you could call this the darkest episode of Barry, even though there's not really much violence in it at all. It's just more psychologically dark. John, what do you think about that?
Yeah, I'd say the only limited violence in this episode is Barry showing his son YouTube videos of Little Leaguers dying, which is classic Barry. I mean, he doesn't want his kid to go out into the world, and so he scares him off in whatever venue that's going to be. In this case, his son takes an interest in baseball, and Barry completely gives his son nightmares to turn him off that idea. The other aspect of violence in this episode was a brief clip of Sally flirting with a guy that made inappropriate comments about her, and in the bathroom, in sort of this sexual scenario, she starts like choking him almost to the point of death. So it's clear that Barry and Sally kind of work for each other in a weird way, but she's incredibly unhappy and she's taking it out in the form of violence as well. So, you know, Sally has also killed someone. I think we're forgetting that. She choked a man to death, and maybe she's kind of reliving that experience a little bit. It was extremely psychologically messed up. Mostly the character of Sally, Emily's character, was super hard to watch as she's struggling in this new life she lived. Barry finally has everything he wants, but still, it's not a perfect world. It never was going to be. This episode kind of took the show back to the basic core of Barry, Sally, and we get a brief appearance from Jean at the end that I'm sure we'll talk about. And it cuts out all the side characters, so we really get some like intimate character development. I think it's a weird turn from the showrunners, but I also think it could work in its own way. I mean, their timeline is running really, really low. They have about an hour and a half left of the show to show us. that they've already made. And this time jump accomplishes a lot of things. I mean, it brings us back to the focus of those central characters. And it, in a way, closes a lot of those holes. So now we're focused on this plot line that's going to carry out the next 3 years, or the next three episodes. I do think going forward, we'll see some of the side characters and how they're doing 8 years later. What the last episode did was it perfectly set up a scenario in which to time jump. So a big risk from them. We're going to see if it pays off through these next few episodes, but it's already paying off a little bit. This opened up a lot of interesting avenues. Barry nerding out about Abraham Lincoln and just going off the rails. Of course, he's like a devout televangelist lover with Sally and his son. Like, he's all about embodying those values. He wants to create this perfect life, and he's willing to do whatever he can to have it, even ignoring his wife's own alcoholism and putting on wigs and going working at the local restaurant to make, you know, however much money. Yeah, really, really interesting turn, and I thought the risks they took worked.
Yeah, I mean, this episode was very much in contrast to the last one, in which we saw it was sort of focused on the side characters and how they were responding to Barry's escape from prison. But this episode was totally, completely all about Barry and Sally and the new life that they've created themselves. And like you said, John, this is absolutely Barry's world. It's sort of his perfect vision for how he wants to live his life. And, you know, he gets to finally have the happy family with Sally, and he gets to have a son, and he gets to seem like this great guy. But throughout the episode, you sort of see that, yes, while it is Barry's perfect world and blah, 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 like, it sucks for everyone else. For Barry to assert the control he needs to keep everything where he wants, he basically has to force his child to be like an absolute weirdo, which is in a way probably going to turn him to violence. And with Sally, like, clearly she's just a broken individual. I love the scene where she's drinking wine, which clearly you can see now that she's an alcoholic. The episode hinted at that a lot. But I love the scene where she's drinking wine and watching her former colleague, I forget what her name is, you know who I'm talking about.
Natalie.
Yeah, Natalie. She's watching Natalie star in this, like, stupid, ridiculous show. Like, I mean, obviously Sally probably doesn't think it's good, but it's, like, it's very much a pity party for herself. And she's sort of regretting the decisions that she's made. And same with the actress that she helped coach in the most recent episode is now, you know, doing very well. We saw that there's a Mega Girls 4 episode out. So I thought that was pretty cool. Clearly, Sally is still holding on to some aspects of her past life. Whereas Barry, I think it's much less so. He's clearly tried to totally circumvent who he is as a character, obviously, until the end of the episode when his perfect little life is threatened and he realizes he needs to go back to what he was a little bit. But, and even, like, you get a brief glimpse of Barry, and when he tries to defend his property, when I believe it's, like, kids that come mess with him by ringing his doorbell or whatever. But I love that scene where he's just standing outside with the gun in his hand for, you know, the entire night. Like, clearly he's just fucking crazy, and he's gone off the deep end. And I feel for his family so much. You can totally understand why Sally is the way that she is, even though it's really, you know, she's really weird. But I thought this episode was pretty funny, actually. Like you said, I loved the Little League montage. Like, that was hilarious. The televangelism and the Abe Lincoln stuff, too. That was funny. But of course, like, he turns on Abe Lincoln later and talks about how terrible of a guy he was and blah, 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 to try to illustrate to his son that, you know, not everyone's perfect. It's just so, the messages are so conflicting. Like, it's just so crazy. And I really feel for that poor kid. I really hope that Barry does not get his perfect life. I hope that that is not maintained throughout the end of the show. I wouldn't be surprised if it was, but that would just be such a depressing ending.
It's amazing how manufactured this world is. From every single scene, the chicken pot pie that isn't cooked. They can't really afford food. And Barry's telling his son, I love the war hero thing, when he decides to open up about the military. He essentially lies through his teeth, tells his son he was a medic, and that he was a hero. And, you know, just to emphasize to his son that he is indeed a great person. He's trying to convince his son, but also himself. And that scene of him standing outside with the gun is chilling. But I liked a little bit before that when they realize there's a knock at the door and they're scared. Of course, they're going to be living in constant fear that someone's going to discover about their life and how they've ended up essentially getting away from the law. And Sally even, you know, might be depressed and all this stuff, might be an alcoholic, but she's still in it with Barry. She immediately says, like, Barry, you go take care of it. She trusts him. She still feels safe with him. So ultimately, she's so insecure in her life that safety that Barry provides trumps all of the rest of it. And she's willing to sit down and watch televangelist stuff with him and pretend to comfort their son. She doesn't love herself. She doesn't love Barry. She doesn't love the son. She's just kind of there. The kid has the makings to definitely be, a serial killer in the future. And then we get that at the end where Barry still has that sense to protect the family. And eventually, the moment that we were waiting for, Gene Cousineau, of course, comes back and does his classic thing, comes into the studio all raggedy and wants to get publicity for his life, even though he's been gone these last years. And Barry says, I need to kill Gene Cousineau. So another cliffhanger ending, of course, but setting up some real interesting stuff for the future. Will said Sally has the deadest look in her eyes I've ever seen. Yeah, great acting from her. She does. She's so monotone the entire episode. Just so dead inside. And I think she goes a long way in portraying that.
It is interesting because I think at this point in the show, as an audience, we can actually say that the character of Sally is a good actress. Like, sure, she's not acting in Hollywood, but she has completely embodied this whole new life of her being like a Midwestern waitress or whatever. And she really plays into that really well. It seems like that's kind of the life she's absorbed for herself. But yeah, the whole dynamic with her and Barry is still really weird to me. I totally get that, like, she views him as, like, safety and all of that stuff. But I personally think that there's at least a little element of fear in there, and that, like, she probably realizes that she doesn't really have an option to be with anyone else but Barry, because, like, that's clearly what he wanted, and that's clearly what he's gonna get. Like, he gets what he wants. He's a ruthless murderer. But back to what you mentioned about Cousineau, which is how the episode ended, and, you know, that's clearly the key scene in setting up the future, as we saw from the little trailer hinting at episode 6. All it showed was a gun and some ammunition and some other supplies on a bed. What I draw from that is I'm assuming that is Barry's, like, weaponry and tools, maybe in, like, a motel room or something, as he's going out to hunt Cousineau, which he says at the end of the episode that he's going to go hunt Cousineau, which I think is really interesting. But John, what do you say we try to make some predictions about what happened? Like, I think that's especially relevant for our podcast episode today because, I mean, there has been this 8-year time jump. Like, there's so much that has not been explained that they're going to have to allude to in these next couple episodes of the show. Like, they bring back Cousineau, but the last shot we saw of Cousineau was him shooting his son. Did he kill him? Like, is his son dead? Did he go into isolation after that? Where's Mr. Moss? What happened with NoHo Hank? Yeah, I feel like this season especially, there's been so much hidden that's been hidden from the audience, and I'm really hoping and I believe that all of those details that are being obstructed from us are in greater service to what will likely be an epic finale. But yeah, John, do you have any predictions about what happened? Not necessarily where it's going, but how things ended up where they were.
I think the time jump and how the last episode ended actually gives us a lot of clues to where things are going to be, just from the state of minds of the characters as they left, and the general fallout this 8 years later, how people are handling it. So, first of all, the one character, the side character that we do get to see, aside from Gene, of course, that's doing something 8 years down the line is Natalie, who's incredibly successful and might have this kind of shitty show. It's clear she's not a great actress, but she lives the life that Sally would have lived or thinks in her head that she would have gotten. So that's Natalie's character. And I think that that's an interesting foil for Sally. I think, you know, Barry, the show, always has this equilibrium at certain points where everyone's doing their own version of okay. You could even call Barry and Sally's life a version of okay. I mean, no one's dying. And then Barry goes and messes it all up. So now he's going back to the world of LA, where all the characters presumably still are. I would imagine Fuchs is in prison and probably doing really well. Based on the last episode, it indicated he might be running things a little bit. So I could see him as kind of a big dog in prison with some clout. And Barry might go back and call upon him for help, or he might end up in the crossfire somewhere trying to, I don't know, I could see Fuchs finding out that Barry's around and trying to get to him somehow. Likewise, I think Noah Hank is probably doing okay. I'm sure he's running a crime empire in LA, doing his thing with the Chechens. And of course, they're going to come back into the fold. I think it would be irresponsible not to address those characters at all the rest of this show. Likewise, I think Jim Moss is going to come back into the fold. Something tells me he has not forgotten about Barry. That was his one target for like the last season and a half. That's his sole focus, is getting Barry somehow. So I think Jim Moss has been probably looking for Barry this whole time and trying to put together clues to figure out where he is. So I think he will also, in some way, get tipped off to the fact that Barry's around. Maybe someone like gets murdered in a brutal way in LA in Barry's hunt for Cousineau, like someone on the on a TV set or something, and Jim Moss is going to see it and be like, "Oh, Barry's back. I need to get him." So yes, all the characters are probably doing their own version of fine, but when Barry gets in there, the focus comes on Barry again. And I think you're right. This is gearing up for an explosive finale, as it should. I mean, that's what the whole show has been geared towards.
So just to be clear, you're saying the setting of this explosive finale is going to be in LA? You think all the characters are going to coalesce in LA?
Yes. And I think that's where Barry gets caught or meets his demise. Because he is doing well out in this world. That's very hard to reach and very hard to find. No one knows where they are. I don't think people are going to find it somehow and come to them. They haven't for the last 8 years. Barry's going to create problems by being unable to resist his urge to go after Cousineau, you know?
Yeah. I mean, I think Cousineau has been not necessarily Barry's foil, but Barry's driving motivation, even more so than Sally throughout the show. And yeah, you're completely right. Any trouble that Barry gets himself into is all his own doing, because, like, I truly think if he were to maintain this life as he's been doing, like, he would not be caught. Like, there were no threats in this episode to Barry and his family. The only reason he wants to go after Cousineau is an ego vanity thing. Like, who cares if a movie's made about him? Like, that obviously that's going to happen anyways. Like, Barry's a bad guy. He knows that all the things he's done are well known. He knows that he himself is a very well-known criminal that people are looking for. Clearly, he's seeking out the trouble a little bit. And yeah, I think, you know, this whole episode he spent trying to convince the audience, convince his son, convince himself that he's a good guy. But yeah, clearly he's not. We all know that. The show's going to end with him not being a good guy, because he's not. And yeah, he's going to draw himself back into trouble. And I think the language and all the dialogue and all the major details in this episode point to that being the exact case. Back to the Honest Abe thing, I was bringing up the fact that, you know, he talked about Honest Abe a lot in this episode, but I especially love when he vilifies him to his son and says, like, he was in some ways a terrible person and goes through a bunch of, like, good people and says, like, the bad things they've done. And yeah, that in itself is also just an effort to convince himself that there's really no such thing as, like, good or bad. You know, I think he truly is just crazy and believes that, like, he is a redeemable character. And he just has the right to kill people because he's a good guy at heart. And that's what the whole show's been portraying. That's what murder itself is all about. And I think the showrunners understand that. Like, you can be any sort of person you want, but when you take someone else's life, like, that is you deciding what, like, some sort of morality. Like, that's you taking a stance on morality. And Barry's, like, version of that is just so fucked up, and he's going to pay for it. So, yeah, that's my prediction. I think Barry's going to end up dead. I really do. I guess we'll have to see.
Yeah, that's the only, I think, legitimate way to close out his character arc. Because even prison has been proven to not be able to hold him back. And even when he was in prison, for the briefest of times, someone tried to kill him there. So, he even goes after Gandhi in this episode, which I thought was interesting. But that's all I have to say about this episode. I thought it was really well done. A lot's more to explore going forward, but the show is not new to that, as we've mentioned before, opening and closing holes. Do you have any like fun moments you want to go through in the episode before we close out?
Well, first of all, I just want to address your comment about Gandhi. Yes, like, it is interesting you went after Gandhi, but Gandhi actually was, like, not that great of a person. Like, it's pretty confirmed that he was, like, a sexual abuser, and, you know, he was a very questionable character. But, yeah, on to some fun moments. I mean, my favorite of the episode, which John already mentioned, was the Little League montage. Like, I just thought that was hilarious. So dark. Like, Barry, like, tries to paint himself as, like, you know, someone that's, like, trying to protect his kid and stuff, but him showing the videos to his kid is more dangerous than baseball itself, because, like, he was showing him these horrific deaths, and then that clearly led to his son having some vicious nightmares, and then Sally, like, had to deal with it. Also, just in general, like, it was kind of sad, but I found Sally's, like, apathy toward her own kid, like, pretty funny. Like, she's just so out of it at this point. Like, she was lying in bed with her kid who, like, wanted to, you know, needed some comfort because he was having a nightmare, and she was just like, ugh, and, like, was clearly just, like, kind of uncomfortable. But, yeah, I mean, there's not much more I have to say. John, did you have maybe one little favorite moment of the episode and that you want to talk about, and then maybe we close out?
I love the televangelist arc, that clip. Likewise, I also really liked when Sally's watching Natalie's show and Natalie's like, we were mentioned on the State of the Union. Like, that's just hilarious. That's about the pinnacle, I guess, you can get, but it's also fake and manufactured. Those scenes of Barry and Sally sitting separately watching TV on their computers is very emblematic of, you know, society today and how people kind of hang out and do their own thing, even when together. So the whole episode was, as you said earlier, one of the funniest episodes of the show in an incredibly dark way. It was pretty fun for me the whole time because these characters aren't real. They're not based on real people. So we're allowed to enjoy their misery. A lot of it self-brought. But yeah, great episode. That brings our close of an analysis together of Barry Season 4, Episode 5, Tricky Legacies. We look forward to seeing you next week after episode 6 on Sunday at 10 p.m. on HBO. So signing off, Splash of Cinema, I'm John.
And I'm Will. Thanks for sticking with us.
Nice.
80 degrees.
Oh, shit. That's sick.
Hell yeah.